closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that email. 10:06, Jerry Bader Show. That was Fox News? That was Fox News that did that. Now, I think they were trying to be witty. I wonder if enough people heard that to weigh in on this. 888-455-1360. The headline, Fox News, Americans are voting for Hillary Clinton. Well, they're voting for Donald Trump, too. And what they're talking about is early voting. And Earl pointed out to me, that's Hillary's mantra right now. Vote, 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 early vote, early vote, early vote, early vote, early vote, early. A listener says this. I had shared an Uber headline, JS Online, I felt was deceptive. It made it sound like an Uber driver, whether they intended to or not, was responsible for a crash that killed three people when it was the car being driven by an Uber driver that was struck by someone else that blew a stop sign or stoplight. I can't remember. Stoplight, I think. And the headline was very deceptive. He writes, this is almost just like the Uber headline. When the news came on at 10 o'clock, the Fox guys say, Americans are voting for Hillary Clinton, all loud and proud, and then mumbles, and Donald Trump in a few more states. I believe the intent was to be clever, to have an attention getter. But yeah, look, it's early voting, and I honestly think it was intended as an attention getter. I don't believe Fox News is in the tank for Hillary Clinton. Now, there is plenty of media bias to go around. I don't think this is part of it. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Fox News has been the most sympathetic network to Trump. I find it hard to believe that their radio portion is going rogue. By the way, writing candidate Evan McMullen mentioned this in the last hour because there is apparently concern by elections officials who are conservative in southern Wisconsin in the WOW counties that there's going to be a large write-in for Evan McMullen. They issue kind of a weird news release saying, well, you know, write-in votes don't always count, but didn't point out that McMullen is a registered write-in in Wisconsin. So if you write him in, he would count. Writing candidate Evan McMullen admits his purpose in running for president is to prevent Donald Trump from winning. Now, that's also deceptive. He also wants to prevent Hillary Clinton from winning. McMullen acknowledged his strategy is not conventional, and the goal is not to win 270 electoral votes. The writing candidate said he hopes the race is a close one between Trump and Clinton because he wants to play spoiler and stop the authoritarian candidate from taking power, Donald Trump. We're not trying to win 270 votes, McMullen said bluntly. What we are trying to do is earn enough electoral votes to block Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. The writer of this piece at RealClearPolitics.com is being disingenuous. McMullen wants to stop Hillary Clinton every bit as much as he does Donald Trump. What we're trying to do is earn enough electoral votes to block Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump if the race between both of them is so close that we are able to do that by winning one or two states. I don't think it's going to happen, but I suppose it could happen. He is competitive in Utah, his home state. He is competitive. Then what you would have to have is the race would have to be that close. The race would have to be that close. You know, where they're right on either side of 270, and that one or two states would turn the thing to Congress is would be his ultimate goal, that neither candidate of the top tier candidates gets 270, then it goes to Congress. And the top three vote getters in terms of electoral votes can be considered by the House of Representatives. Question, how many states are you going to be on the ballot, would you say? Evan McMullen, right now we're neither on the ballot or registered, rather on the ballot or registered as a write-in in 34 states. By November 8th, it will be 40 to 45, and that's plenty for our strategy, which is not a conventional strategy. We're not trying to win 270 votes. Of course, that would be great, but it's just not going to happen. His is a three-month presidential campaign. So what we're trying to do is earn enough electoral votes to block Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. If the race between both of them is so close that we are able to do that by winning one or two states. So that's the idea. But he did say this. But if not, then we will be happy to have prevented someone who I believe is a true authoritarian from taking power in the United States, and that's Donald Trump. But his goal is to win one or two states and hope that's enough. Despite my personal feelings, I don't think it's going to be enough. Remember the story that we had about the FDA trying to stop the practice of charitable groups sending cigars over to our troops overseas? And we talked about this briefly. I want to read a letter to the editor that the Wall Street Journal received on this. And then I'm actually going to transition this into another topic. Regarding your editorial, blowing bureaucratic smoke. I don't know who is blowing smoke, but when I was in the service in the 1950s, the primary reason that the tobacco companies were donating cigarettes to the servicemen was to get them hooked on cigarettes. It appeared to be a patriotic gesture, but it was a business decision. I read that Milton Friedman said that a company should never make a benevolent gesture unless it gave some financial advantage to the company. I don't know if Friedman said that or not. I have a difficult time believing that Representative Kathy Castor had the best interests of service personnel in mind. The primary reason tobacco companies donated cigarettes to get servicemen hooked on them. Okay, I don't think that's the case with cigars. I mean, there are some people who become hooked. I get that. Cigars are growing in popularity, I think in large part because of the growing popularity of bourbon. They go well together. Scotch and cigars go extremely well, but so does bourbon. And I think even younger guys are smoking cigars more than they used to. Yeah, drinking and smoking has gone together for a long time. That's true. I always smoked more cigarettes. I smoked cigarettes for about 3 years as a very young man. I always smoked more when I was drinking. I had a cigar over the weekend. I generally try to limit it to one every couple of weeks. As winter comes, it's going to be too cold to be outside. It'll be far less frequent than that, probably till about spring. And I don't know. I suppose if cigars are free, guys will smoke more of them. And whether or not that is the intent, smoking a cigar is a different thing than smoking cigarettes. One, you don't have the lung cancer risk. You do have mouth cancer risk. It's not nearly the lung cancer risk because you're not inhaling it into your lungs if you know how to smoke a cigar. And I just don't have a problem with it. But that leads me to this. Earl, do you remember what the definition of binge drinking is? How many drinks is considered a binge? Now, Earl says 8 in an hour. I wish it was that precise. 5. And it's in one sitting. At one occasion. There's not necessarily a time frame on it. I want to give an example of how bogus I think this is. And then I want to open the phones on this. Not five in an hour. No. No. Five in a sitting, however long that sitting is. Now, I, on Saturday, had a beer at 3:30 as I was cooking on the grill. Okay. It took me from about 3:30 to 5:30 to do all the... We cook a lot of food and store it up for a couple of weeks. Ever since my wife and I lost a lot of weight, we do that. So, in... like a squirrel in winter, except we do it all year long now. So from 3:30 to 5:30, I had two craft brews, and I think they were 16-ouncers. Okay. So you can argue how many drinks that really is. Probably three. Okay. I had a can of beer somewhere between 3 and 4:30-ish. And another one between 4:30-ish and 5:30. I didn't clock it. I know there were two empty beer cans by 5:30. I had a glass of red wine with dinner. Then I had a glass of Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey sitting out at the fire with a cigar afterwards. Now, Earl wants the listener to be clear that he wasn't invited. That is true. So, if you do the math on this, and by the way, I thought about this as I was finishing the Tullamore Dew. I thought of this topic. It was a double. Because I actually measured, I've got this little snifter, if you will, that I got from Tullamore Dew Distillery, and I actually measured it out. It holds about two shots, and I filled it. So it was a double. So from 3:30 to 7:30, while I was cooking, eating, and smoking a cigar by the pit fire, I had two beers, which I suppose you could say are three beers by the standard measure. I had a glass of wine, which is four. And then I had an after-dinner drink with a cigar of whiskey that I concede was a double. If you push it, it's six in 4 hours. Did I binge drink on Saturday night? Yes or no? And explain your answer. 888-455-1360. 888-455-1360. It's 10:19.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.